It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Thank you, Jen.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed. The Top Cat is back in the house.
Yep. And if you're going to Ed's, you better do it now.
No,
they closed?
It's closed already.
Okay. Not too late. Sorry.
We'll talk to Nick after a while, see what's going on over there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm sure the causeway is already flooding.
It was flooding this afternoon, I think, about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock news.
Yeah, so, and it's not going to get any better for a little while, so everybody be careful and, try and stay dry, stay out of the windy part, because it's going to get nasty around here. They keep moving that marker right over here is going to be right up Mobile Bay before they're done, I think. But,
yeah, I hope there's no buoys floating in my yard.
No. Last time I looked, it looked like it was going right over my house. So I didn't like that too much either. So,
Well, you're country bucking. You know what can I say?
Yeah. The state line right there is awful close to where
I
live.
Yeah, you could probably throw a rock to this state line.
Just about. So, but then, we'll be all right. We'll be all right.
We just
not panic.
Here's the way I feel about it. We don't have any dang control over it whatsoever.
It's coming.
We don't know what's
going to
happen, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get ready. So when it does happen, we'll be prepared to do whatever's necessary.
Right.
And then I'll worry about how am I going to get all this fixed.
Just make your preparations and like you normally would.
Right.
And
batten everything down, tighten everything up, get everything secured.
Get in the house, get comfortable, don't worry about it, because it's all you can do at that point.
I went running around a while ago to find me some extra 10 gallons of extra gas. So
yeah.
From a little gentleman raider.
Yep. My wife gets irritated with me because I'll just go to sleep. It don't matter to me.
Well, I am too.
She's up and nervous.
Unless something hits the house and wakes me up, I won't know about it.
Yeah. I think it was during Ivan, we had some insulation was blowing around the yard. And it's like, well, the roof must be coming off. It was like, okay, what am I going to do about it right now?
Run out there and lay down on it and keep it in place.
I'm not climbing on the roof in the middle of a hurricane. Sorry, that just ain't happening. So,
but baby,
if I need to move something out of the way of getting wet, I'm good with that. But otherwise, there ain't no point in worrying about it.
So true. One of the things that I was at a insurance office today about some car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to one of the insurance guys that writes the insurance. He's not an adjuster, but I said, well, how often are you seeing water cars?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't ever see them. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, anytime the car's getting water in, now they're totaling them. I said, what? He said, I said, if water gets inside of a car, with all the electronics and stuff that's inside of the car down on the floorboard and all, if it gets 6-8 inches or a foot inside the car,
mm-hmm.
it's total.
Yeah.
I said, dang, I hadn't even thought about that. But, I guess we've talked about it, though.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of modules on the floorboard. I mean, some of the stuff really needs to be. It needs to be centrally located and, as low as possible in the car. So it, like the yaw rate sensor, which is basically – it's measuring, if you corner real hard and the back end starts to swing out, it knows that it's doing that, so it's doing the stability system and all this. But it has to be mounted centrally in the car and down low so it can figure that out.
Like a gyro or something, huh?
Yeah. It's just trying to figure out what kind of attitude the car has, which my cars get attitudes all the time. But, it's a different kind of attitude.
Yeah, mine do, too. They just don't talk back.
Right. Well, I bet if you tried to talk back, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Suck it up, buttercup. I've had the occasion in the past where I've gone through water in some of my older model cars. I don't think mm-hmm. I do it now. But in my older model cars where water would actually be coming in through the door inside of, on, into the floorboards. And the car was, you know, was still going along good and, mm-hmm. and had a good wake in front of it.
Yeah.
And I was holding my speed, pushing that wake.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any problems there, but the water, as it was coming back around the side of the car, it was coming into the car. So today, if I did that, mm-hmm. I would kill my car.
Yeah.
Before I kill my motor.
Well, that's the thing. Well, you're actually killing the motor because it's the air intakes are always down lower. And that's the problem is you pick up water way early, you know, in these things. So you're going to drown the motor out pretty quick, you know. It doesn't take a whole lot of water. If you're getting it up anywhere close to the headlights, you're going to be sucking water in. You know, so
well, if you get it up to the radiator or the inlet to the radiator, I guess you could
say,
the grill, if it's getting up to the edge of the grill or in the middle of the grill
mm-hmm.
or close to the top of it, then you're going to be pushing water down the intake into the motor.
Oh, yeah.
And then so it's going to hydraulic and lock up.
Right. Right.
So then you will have a total car.
Exactly. And, you know.
Would an insurance company turn that down?
No, not typically. You know, and the bad thing about all of it is most of the time if that happened and you got the car out of the water immediately and all that, okay, you're going to get it towed to us and we're going to check it. And we're going to find that, okay, it got water in the motor. If you were to do something with it right then, you could probably save that motor and be okay. As long as it didn't bend a rod, you should be
right,
fine.
Yeah.
If it just stalled and didn't hurt anything.
Well, but it's likely to have bent a rod, a cracked a piston, or cracked a wall.
It depends on,
you know, skirt or the wall, the cylinder wall of a block, because, they're all aluminum now.
Yeah, but honestly, what I see more often now is the fact, okay, it stalled because it went by the mass airflow sensor, it got in there, it didn't take a whole lot to stall the motor, mm-hmm. and it got water in the cylinders. Well, okay, by the time you get an insurance company out there to look at it, you can't fix it before they get there because they're going to say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, if you wait that 3-4 days a week, and mm-hmm. it's too late. That motor's trash because you let it rust up. And
well,
half time can't get spent
if it
over.
Was you and I and or a tech or a do-it-yourself type fellow,
mm-hmm.
that knew what he was doing when it happened and he could get it out and take it to his house and get up the next morning
mm-hmm.
and starts pulling the spark plugs out of it.
Right.
You know, and maybe to see if it could spin over.
Right.
And then, lubricate the cylinders and all and maybe put some plugs back in it and try that. Then, you might save it if you didn't bend the rod.
As
you say, a cracked cylinder, mm-hmm. skirt on a piston or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah,
or mend the valve.
A lot of times they can be saved if you go ahead and do something about them then. But you can't always do that, especially if you've got insurance.
If you've got insurance, you can't touch it.
Right, you can't.
You
got
to wait. So
yep.
Then you get the worst of the scenario, and it's mm-hmm. I guess we're going to have to total this, and you're upside down in it.
Right,
and you're already. You owe $20,000 on it, and the book on it is 14.
Right.
So we're going to pay you 14.
Yeah, yeah. Do it all the time.
You know?
Do it all the time.
Really?
So, yeah. So, you know, it's a bad deal either way you look at it.
Well, you know, and if there's somebody out there, if you're an insurance guy or somebody out there that really knows their stuff, not no BS,
mm-hmm.
Can they replace the vehicle with a vehicle with an equal mileage and just let you have the car and keep making payments? Or
no, because you've got title work and all that kind of stuff involved. But, sometimes I have seen them take and find like vehicles with like mileage and condition and price them according to that.
But on most occasions, those people probably wasn't upside down.
Right. Well, if you're upside down, that's not the insurance company's fault unless you got gap coverage, you know.
How many nice, good-looking pickup trucks are you going to find now, mm-hmm. let's say 250s or 350s, HDs or whatever, that's not $70,000 or $80,000?
Oh, yeah. Well, new ones, they're every one of them's at.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's it's hard to get a truck like that for sure. Yeah.
Don't you know it.
Anyway, it sounds like we've come up to our first break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
I can tell it all. about the mountain lawyer and illegal alcohol. His daddy made him whiskey, son, he drove low. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And hey, welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. He's back in the house, feeling good.
He got released from my big doctor today. Said I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I said I didn't feel that way.
I was going to say, you may have thought you was 10 foot tall and bulletproof and figured out you was 5 foot tall and bulletproof.
Full of holes, yeah. So, you know. So, I still feel that way.
Right.
You've been where I've been for the last 6 weeks.
I'm sure.
You're going to feel that way. But I'm blessed. I'm here.
Hey, you're here.
I'm here, yeah. And I'm in one piece, and I can still, joke, carry on, bitch moan about it. So that's a win-win.
All good. It's all good, no doubt. Yeah. But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey.
Oh, I thought maybe you had floated out in the bay or something.
No, I actually floated down the Gulf Shores.
You went to the water, huh?
Yeah, I live down here. Right. I live in Gulf Shores. So it's a long trip. I get to see both sides of it.
There you go. Well, we was kind of worried today about all of this water coming in the causeway, and I know that you've probably got 2 or 3 feet of water under the heads over there now, so I just hope that thing doesn't get 6 or 8 feet.
Yeah, I mean, everything that they're saying on the news is that the possibility of the causeway getting a lot of water is a big deal. We are used to it.
Right.
And we prepare every day with it. We turn grinder pumps off, we open gate doors and, hope that the building stays intact. I mean, we put a lot of work into that building, so we just kind of hold our breath and hope that it passes. Nothing gets hurt.
Yep, I totally understand. I know when we had Katrina come in here and backed all that water up in here, it was we had 8 or 10 feet over there or something like that.
But it
never got inside of its building, from what I understand. But it
No. I mean, and we've done so much work that we feel like it's really in a good place as it relates to the physical plan of the building. But, when you get hit with that eye of the storm, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, and I pray that doesn't happen, Nick, But otherwise, it is what it is. There's nothing we can do about that. We'll fix it when
we hope we're gonna be open on Thursday to do it again and again and again.
There you go. Well, what else is happening with everything? We talked the other day about the oyster bars open now, and the fact that are y'all using exclusively the farm raised oysters now?
No, we're offering what we call the commodity oysters, the muddy bottom oysters, and then we have the oysters that are what we call the varieties. Those are which are grown in cages, actually,
right,
kind of above water. If you ever been by, I think last week when I talked to you, the guy was telling me if the storm comes, they just sink those cages down into the ground.
Yeah, that's
so
yeah,
they don't.
That's neat.
They don't lose them.
But I was watching a show on TV last day or so, and they were talking about each farm is located in a different area of the bay and the I don't know what you call that area between Balabatri and Dolphin Island, and then off of Dolphin Island that has the complete seawater and all, and so they know that they're not going to have any of that bacteria there because seawater kills it. So
Bill Walton, he was the guy who kind of helped everybody get started. He's from Auburn University and works with, I think, C-Lab and a few folks. He's kind of bought the seed. He's been amazing with helping all these farmers. I would imagine, I can't remember, but I feel like it started 8 or 9 years ago, early on, and they've just gotten better and better and better with getting it down to a science, what they do.
Well, where I was going with that is that they're talking about there's actually a little bit different taste in from each one of these farms. If they're in different areas of the bay and off of Dolphin Island,
that's 100% true. I mean, you taste Murder Points or you taste pointed pins. They've all have something just a little bit different.
You can actually taste that.
What's that?
You can actually taste that, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lane over there at Murder Point, he's got some called Butter Babies. We actually went on a dock and goes, pop one open. He goes, man, taste this. And you know, I've tasted every bit of them, every one of them that we get in, and they all have something just a little bit different.
I'll be darned.
Some more salty, some more flavorful, some more full. You know, their shapes and what they do, how they process them is a whole deal in itself.
Well, if this storm doesn't tear up all of our area out there and mess it up for a while, then I'm looking forward to, tasting some of those fabulous oysters over there and see if I can tell the taste of them.
Yes, sir. We're just glad to see you and back in good health and back doing what you do.
Oh, man.
Always supporting Ed's and all of our brands.
Oh, yes. Yes. Hey, I see it. I see that you're on Facebook here quite a bit lately with all the new stuff at Squid Ink. What's with all the new foods, man?
Yeah, so we're doing on Saturday and Sunday brunch, which starts at 9 o'clock, so we've got a whole new brunch menu, and then we've got a pretty aggressive happy hour. Instead of doing tacos, we do bao buns, which is a steamed bun, real big in Asia, and we do different foods in there, Bobtown, chicken, a banh mi, so they're, you know, you get a $2 taco during happy hour. Outside seating, man, plenty of outside seating, obviously when there's no rain, but downtown has got a lot to offer.
Sure
as far
has.
As yep. Squid Ink.
Well, and Squid Ink has just become an unbelievable gathering area downtown by the square.
Yeah, you can fly down the Ann Street and get a haircut and then come back and have lunch.
I know, man. You just about could walk down there.
Yeah, Melissa takes walk-ins.
Oh, she takes walk-ins.
You could for sure get on a scooter and ride down there and get a haircut and then ride back.
Do they still have those electric scooters down there?
Yeah, man. Oh, are you kidding me?
I need to come get me. Let's go down and get us one of those scooters and just run it till we run the battery dead.
Don't break a hip, though.
Oh, hell no. I'll strap a pillow on each one of my cheeks.
Right. So do they have one with training wheels so you can stand up straight? So.
Yeah, we'll put training wheels on mine.
Yeah, we're just hoping you guys all stay safe and all of our customers stay safe, and we all have a quick 48 hours and get back to the sunshine and
yes, sir,
and enjoying great food and great friends.
Well, Nick, we appreciate all the things that you and Pete do there with the Panini Pete's facility, Squid Ink.
We got something coming up in a couple weeks,
uh-oh,
but I can't divulge it.
Uh-oh.
But it's going to be something pretty special.
All right,
that's all I'm saying.
Okay, so you give us a little teaser, huh?
TBA.
To be announced. All right. Glad to have you on, big guy. And
right,
when do you think you might be open Thursday? Thursday, maybe?
Well, yeah, we hope. I mean, we hope Thursday's the day.
All right, big guy.
Maybe
appreciate
Wednesday.
All right.
Wednesday.
Appreciate all you do. Thank
all
you.
Right, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you calling in. But we have another caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yes.
Hey, what are we going to do for you?
Hi. I was calling. I wanted to know if you could help me to possibly locate a seatbelt that my neighbor's dog chewed.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's to an older car. It's a 97 Prism.
Yeah.
And I cannot find one. I've tried some of the salvage yards, and someone had said that there was a place that you could mail in whatever was left of the seatbelt, and they would make a new one, but I don't know how to find that facility. And I was just curious, as you see all these antique cars around, how do they find parts for those cars? And I can't find a car. I can't find a seatbelt for something that's from the late 90s.
Well, you know, the antique stuff, they're using like a universal seatbelt. They make like a universal belt that you can bolt in, and it does what it needs to do, but it's not the exact belt that was in the car. As far as getting somebody to repair one. I'm sure that is something that can be done. I'm just not sure myself exactly where to get that done. And that Prism is really nothing more than a Toyota Corolla.
I know, but the Corolla doesn't fit. I found one of those, but it really doesn't fit. It's like some of the other body parts of the Corolla fit perfectly, but not the seat belt.
Could the whole seat belt assembly be replaced?
I was just wondering if the whole seat belt maybe can be changed over the latch and everything out of a Corolla, but I don't know. I'm sure it's too. I know it's too old for GM to be offering it or anything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, now you mentioned the Universal. Is that something that I could utilize on this car?
It is possible. You know, and I'll have to try and do some research. I don't know if that's a possibility or not. Which part of the seat belt is actually damaged?
The strap.
Yeah, the part, you know, like on the lap part or on the shoulder part.
Well, it's totally disconnected from the latch, and the strap itself was kind of chewed in pieces.
Right, right. Yeah.
I'll take pictures of it and text it to you.
Yeah. Take a picture of it when you get a chance. I won't be here next week because I'm going to be out of town. I got to go see my new grandbaby, so
ooh.
I'll be in Houston. So. Sorry, everybody else got to wait. I got to go see my grandbaby.
Yeah.
But
you have to have priorities.
Oh yeah. But when we come back the next week, let me do a little research, and you can send me a text if you can do it tonight. It'd be great. Send it to the text line, and let me see, look at it, and then and with a little bit of that information on the car, and let me look and do some research, see what I can come up with.
Is the text line the same number?
Yeah.
That I called. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Time for us to take a break, and we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raymond, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. You know, we've got hurricane headed our way, it looks like. I want everybody, of course, be safe. But we're going to have some issues during, before, and after. One thing we got during hurricane, just got to be careful. We talked here a couple weeks ago about generator safety, and that when the last storm that came through Louisiana, the majority of the people that died from the storm died from carbon monoxide poisoning.
That's pitiful. You know, you get through the hurricane,
right,
and then you die from saving, you know, with a generator.
Yeah, so I mean, you got to be smart with your generators. Not only with the electrical part of it, which you got to be careful how you hook it up and all that, but you want to make sure you're hooking, good quality extension cords, hooked directly to the components. Don't hook it into the house, and make sure the generator is outside, not in a garage, not in your house, not under the carport. It's got to be outside in a well-ventilated area that is not letting the exhaust fumes get back in the house. Because the problem is you will not know that you got a problem until
it's not one of the things that says, look, you're fixing to die. It's like you gradually breathe and inhale that, and you don't realize it, and you're gone.
Yeah. So it's, you got to be... You got to be careful with that stuff, because it's crazy to make it through a storm and then die from carbon monoxide poisoning, for sure. But Looks like Rapid Ray and Michelle here sent us a text. They have a seatbelt for a 97 Geo Prism on eBay and GMPartGiant.com. That's GMPartGiant.com had a 97 Geo Prism seatbelt for $92.
That indicates to me it's probably brand new.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. And I'm sure there's probably some obsolete parts that, you know, are still around. So, yeah, those are a couple contacts to look for, see if they do happen to have the belt. Somebody out there's got it. You just got to locate it. But we were talking earlier about flooded cars and cost and all this kind of stuff. We got a message here from a claim adjuster that's been doing it for 30 years. Your policy says that insurance company has the option to replace the damaged vehicle. It's just too much work for them to find one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a pain, yeah, but it can be done, yeah.
So. Well, yeah, but then you get involved with a scenario like I was talking to one of the claims adjusters that is a supervisor here, and I guess he's for working Allstate or something, and they're working like, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 claims over in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
So you give one of those adjusters goes over there, he's probably got 50 or 75 claims,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even 100. You know,
right.
When I was working the claims for, Katrina, I had 2,000 back at the office. I just picked me out a zip code and went and worked those.
Right.
But they don't have time to do that. They can't spend 2 hours trying to do something like that. Now,
yep.
If it's just an insurance claim here in town,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only thing that adjuster's got to look at, he might take the time to do it. But here we go again, like this gentleman says.
Right.
I mean, that could take 2 or 3, 4 hours from the time you sit down and research it.
Well, you got to do a bunch of research to basically find the same car.
You don't get paid
for
that.
You're not getting paid for it.
Right.
So,
well, he's not going to do it, yeah.
And a slight correction in the website is GMParts. GMPartsGiant.com, not Part Giant, but GMPartsGiant.com. And we do have a caller on hold. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what can I do for you?
Okay. Hey, Kevin. My daughter's got this Kia Sorento, and she's trying to put gas in it, and she put a couple dollars in, and it'll spit back out.
Hmm.
Like it's a pressure valve or something, I don't know.
Well, and more than likely, and what I normally see when something like that happens is that the purge canister has come apart. Yeah, and what the purge canister there is, it's the filter
That's
for the
charcoal
fumes.
One, isn't it?
Right, it's a charcoal canister.
Right.
And what happens is that charcoal is supposed to be contained in like a sack or bag, whatever you want to call it, inside that canister. And
mm-hmm.
what happens is that will break and it will start leaking some of that charcoal. It's very fine little charcoal pellets. And it'll start working its way into the, not necessarily into the fuel tank, which it can happen there too, but it goes into the purge lines, going up to the purge solenoid. It gets in the vent lines going to the tank, and it clogs up the vent valves on top of the gas tank.
Right.
And so what generally happens is it clogs that up, and it's no way for the air to get out of the tank as you're putting fuel in. Okay.
Gotcha.
The easiest way to check that would be to take the purge canister off and just turn it over and see if you get, the charcoal pellets coming out
okay.
of it. If you do, unfortunately, most gas tanks, they're molded plastic now, and those valves are molded into the tanks, and you cannot clean them.
Oh, they're not cleanable?
No.
You can't blow air back through them?
No. And so you end up having to replace the gas tank, replace the charcoal canister,
Woo!
Usually the purge solenoid and the vent solenoid, and have to clean all the lines out. So it's fairly labor intensive.
Is that something you could probably get from a used car?
Yeah.
Salvage yard?
Yeah. Assuming that
the other one was okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah. I'd assuming they were good.
I'd hate to put it in, you know, and then it's no sign buying.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the car's still good, so I think that I'll give it a try.
Yeah, got
I thank you so very much.
All right, I appreciate you listening.
Y'all calling be safe.
In. Y'all have a blessed night. Thank all
you. Right, you too. Yeah, it's. I mean, that's something that we're starting to see more and more. I don't really understand why. I mean, we've had these systems on the cars for a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, I still see it. I was at a station the other day getting fuel, and I heard a lady with a click, 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 and I stepped around the pump.
That's
and
the first killer of it.
And I said, what are you doing? She looked at me like, what business is yours, you know? And I said, I'm a car nut. And I said, I hear you clicking that pump. Are you just trying to top off your tank? Yeah, you know, I said, baby, don't do that. And then I explained to her why, and she said, oh, nobody's ever told me that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I said, you know, when it clicks off the first time, just shut it off.
Right.
Then you don't, you don't mess up all these other components like we get. You know, and that's not the only call we've had.
No.
About that kind of stuff.
No, and it happens quite often. And you know, the vent system is meant to be dry. It's not meant to have any fuel in it. It can handle a little bit, but it shouldn't be flooded with it.
But all it does is supposed to handle fumes, right?
It's supposed to handle the fumes, not the fuel, the liquid fuel. And the, the tanks are designed to have an airspace at the top of them for them to operate properly, too. So those vent valves are not supposed to get fuel in them and all that kind of stuff. So it nothing operates right if it gets flooded like that. And it can definitely damage those purge canisters for sure. You know, because you're talking about if you buy a gas tank, the fuel pump module, the vent and purge solenoids and have to clean all the lines and labor, you can be $1,500, $2,000 into fixing the gas tank. Yeah. It's not uncommon. Some of these cars, it's not easy to get out either.
Right, just by trying to pack a tank, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're going to get an extra half gallon in there maybe, you know, and it's just not worth it.
Right.
You
know, okay.
It really isn't.
Well, it overflows and gets into the canister, then you get liquid in there rather than the fumes.
Yeah, but, it's just one of those things you just don't need to do. And most people, they wouldn't do it if they didn't. If someone would actually tell them why.
Right. You know? Yeah. And it's not something they have been advised of.
Right. It's just like all the time. I see these, you know, one of the things they've done on the four-wheel drive trucks is they put an auto four-wheel drive function on a lot of the four-wheel drive systems. People think, well, I'll just leave it in auto four-wheel drive. It doesn't have to, you know, it's not really in four-wheel drive, so why am I worried about it? Mm-hmm. You know, just leave it there. Well, the problem is it's kind of in four-wheel drive. You know, your transfer case is turning, your front differential's turning, it's just unlocked the front axles.
Oh, okay.
So you're actually driving more components than you need to, so you're going to use more fuel, more power,
that. And you're putting a wear factor on it.
You're putting a wear factor on that front differential. Ooh. And, you know, the differential is not designed to be running free without any kind of load on it, and you will wear out the ring and pinion because of that. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you'd be running down the road, and
you're talking about $4,000 or $5,000.
Well, I mean, you'd be $2,500 into fixing the front differential, putting gears and bearings in it.
No, thank you.
And it's you weren't in four wheel drive. You didn't need it in four wheel drive.
Right.
Yeah. So the auto four wheel drive, what people understand, it is meant for when you're in a situation where you may need four wheel drive.
Does the factory cover that? The factory warranty.
It will. It will.
If it's within the right mileage.
Yeah. I mean, if it's under warranty, yeah, it does. You know,
don't buy a brand new vehicle now without getting extended warranty.
Right.
I want a 100,000 mile warranty on it or I ain't driving it off the yard.
Yep. Yeah. Get as much warranty as you can because these things are not cheap to fix.
No.
They never have been, you know, everything being relative, but it's. You know, it's getting more and more expensive.
Well, it's not because of the shops. It's because of the components and pieces that the factory charges them for you know, those parts and all. And then they've got to charge X amount of labor.
Yep.
So, and you don't have any control over that. That's dictated by factory warranty rules.
Right. I mean, you know, obviously we're there to make a living. You know,
and, oh, y'all selling time?
Yeah, we sell time.
Oh,
it's the
goodness.
Only thing we have to sell. And that's something I say all the time. Is
I'll
time
me a,
is
I'll
the only
get
thing
me a
we have to
stand
sell.
On the corner. I'm going, yeah. Time for sale. Come get you a gallon of time right here.
Yeah.
Yep. Come get you an hour of
yep.
time.
Get you an hour. Yeah. But,
what now, you want to talk about? We'll talk for an hour.
Now, if you stand on the street corner and start selling time, they may arrest you for something else, though. They ain't going to tell us that.
Where's the stuff that you're selling you call it time?
Anyway.
Yeah,
exactly.
Time
exactly.
What?
Anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. Sitting here reading some texts and just, you know, not paying attention. Sorry. But, yeah. Not the first time I've been.
Is this a real show? I thought this was make believe.
Yeah, I thought we were just sitting here talking. Yeah, all right. So, you know.
I mean, you know, Philip didn't say we were really on the air.
Yeah, we're really doing this.
Yeah, I thought we was taping a show for next week or something. You know?
We're fine.
Exactly. But it's anyway. We got some weather coming, but you know, hey, we'll be all right. Hopefully, everything be good. We were talking about insurance, and then during the break, I was talking about my brother with his boat and got kind of caught off guard. Didn't expect it to be coming anywhere near him. He lives in Pensacola, and his boat's docked there at Palafox Pier, and it's a nice boat. Problem is it ain't insured if it's a tropical system coming through.
Yeah, if you just leave it out there from negligence, they don't buy negligence.
No, because you know they expect you to have it hauled out of the water, even though it's too big to put on a trailer. You know, I guess you could put it on a trailer, but you know, nah, he doesn't have a trailer for it.
Mm-mm-mm.
And it's on him if it gets damaged during a tropical storm water.
But so many people though, and that's like we were talking about your have a friend, mutual friend, that took his sailboat and would go up the river, you know.
Yeah.
And get up there past Dolly Parton Bridge, way up there, up the river.
Mm-hmm.
And they tie off to a tree or something out there, and anchor out in, and ride it out up there, you know.
Yeah.
Well, a nephew of mine runs these boats, and you know, the charter boats and all these 50, 60, 70 footers.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They go up the river somewhere and go, mm-hmm. you know, find someplace. I was just thinking, he's on a 92-footer over there at the wharf, and I was just thinking, I need to call him on his cell phone and say, where are you at?
Right.
Where are you hiding?
Where are you hiding now?
Where are you hiding from this hurricane front with that $12 million boat?
Well, you know, they probably weren't thinking about going anywhere until this thing started moving
way.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of where my brother got into buying, where he's in Pensacola. This thing was going to Louisiana.
Well, you know what? Yeah. It turned after lunch today, and when it broke up and then regenerated, and mm-hmm. when it did, it got strong and it turned east rather than going west.
Right. That's why you got to watch these things like a hawk, I tell you. But I don't know. I just hope everybody stay safe and after the storm, pay attention. And we were talking about some of the problems we'll have after the storm is, we'll have cars that'll be damaged. They're talking about up to a 9-foot surge, 9 to 11-foot surge in certain places. And, if these cars get wet like that and they're not insured, people are going to try and unload them somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see them somewhere. But, another factor that we have to consider, too, is a lot of people that even have insurance are going to have some glass damage. Some scars where stuff hit the glasses and the windshields and what have you,
mm-hmm.
and our stuff to bouncing off the sides of the cars and what have you, to causing them to disfigure them there. So,
all right,
you got to be careful with all of that.
Yep, and something I've seen, and I never really thought about it until I saw it personally, is that a stick comes through a front windshield, so you got water coming in the front windshield, gets on the seat, okay, no big deal. I mean, it wasn't a huge amount of water, but mm-hmm. it was, you know, okay, the seat's damaged and the carpet's wet, so you got to get all that out and fix, you know, fix the seat cushion, fix the carpet, and, you know, dry the car out and all that. No big deal. Problem is the rain you get during a tropical system like that, where'd that water come from? Came from the Gulf. It's salt water.
Salt water. Oh, my. So, we incurred that in New Orleans with Hurricane mm-hmm. Betsy when I rode it out.
Yeah.
And it ruined everything that it touched, man.
Oh, yeah.
But that salt water, you can clean it out and get it out of there. But all that being said, now, if somebody fixes that and all gets it back out on a lot somewhere and sells mm-hmm. it, could we have future damage out of that? Could we get some salt damage?
Well, that's the problem is that, okay, you can fix everything, and generally you can get everything dried out on the wiring harness and all this kind of stuff, connectors, and you can lubricate it, do everything you want to do. It will be okay for a little while.
Right, but it's going to
Come back.
You're not going to get it salt out.
Unless they did it the right way and replace the harnesses and do it that kind of stuff. You can always get it out. But,
well, yeah, if you replace
it. Yeah, there's
it
hidden off. Places in that car, though, where if you get salt water down in there, it's going to be hard to get it flushed out well. You know, there's a bunch of little seams and crevices inside the car that aren't supposed to be wet. So it's not a...
Oh, my car that I had, my two cars that I got salt water on in Betsy.
Yeah.
I cleaned them up. They look good. I washed them down and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 years later, it looked like termites got in them. Every seam where every piece of metal was joined together in with those cars, and even if they were welded there, that salt got down between those cracks.
Yeah.
And, it rusted them out. Yep. I swear, I was thinking about taking it to Terminex and get it treated.
you just didn't bail on them quick enough is the problem. So, you know,
they had good cars, but they just didn't have no body on them.
Right.
Didn't want to run over about 50 miles an hour, afraid that fenders and all start flying off of it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know, I had, my 90 model Chevrolet. You know, we used to have a house at Dolphin Island, and, you know, when a storm come through, that's what we had to do is go down there and check on the house, make sure everything's good. Well, you know, there was a few times that I had to run through a little bit of water, standing water on the road to get to the house, you know, and get down there, get back, come home. I knew to, wash it down best I could. A couple weeks later, had a truck up on the lift doing something, changing oil or whatever, and looking around, and there's surface rust on everything under the truck.
Right.
You know, I'm sitting here having to spray this thing down, trying to stop all that, you know. But several years later, I've got rust in rocker panels and cab corners and that.
I can imagine,
I don't think I would have had if I hadn't done that.
Right.
You know? Now, I didn't, no water got in the truck, nothing got hurt, didn't stall, nothing. I mean, I just drove on through it, you know. And did my best to wash it out pretty well afterwards.
And I think that's something that people here in the Mobile area needs to consider is if you're going down to Dolphin Island and you're going down there and you're going down to the West End, you know where there's water down there.
Right.
And you're going to run in 6-8 inches of water.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bothering you. You know, you're able to run along. You can see the asphalt. You see there's no holes or anything there. Then you're driving along down through there. Well, you're spraying that all up under your car.
Yeah.
You know, so you're soaking your whole vehicle with salt water.
Yep.
And sand.
Sand, you know? Salt water.
Sand and salt water, and you're not going to get it all off.
No. I mean, you can wash it down, and you can make it better, but it's going to get places where you can't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't expect it to.
Don't plan on keeping it for 10, 12 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not a good idea. And normally first off, if you don't have a four-wheel drive, they normally won't let you go.
Right. You don't need to be down there
anyway. Especially if there's still water on the road. But luckily, my house was kind of – I was in that break point between, where they got real bad damage and where it didn't, and didn't flood quite so much because, during one storm or right after, there's the reporter standing there talking about the damage on the island, and they happened to be holding my street sign. So, it's like, that's not a good sign.
That's
right there.
Not a good sign.
Yeah, pretty much from here down, it's pretty much trashed. It's
oh. Holding your street sign.
Yep, that was a good sign.
Yeah.
But,
that was not a good sign.
Not
talking
a good
about
sign.
Having a heart attack before you get there.
Yeah. Luckily, our house was good that time. It has been tore up, but
that's
a blessing. It was good that time. But, anyway, well, I know we're coming up towards the end of the show. I just want to tell everybody thank you for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And stay safe, stay out of the weather. You know, if you're in a flood-prone area, get out. You know, now's the time to leave. Yeah. So, you know, it's just be careful, and be careful after the storm with your generators and that kind of stuff.
Right. And guys and gals, don't forget, COVID-19 is still here.
Right.
And it is some bad stuff. I done had me a dose. I had me some pneumonia to go along with it. And Top Cat liked to left this country. So a lot of good prayers and good Lord decided that he still wanted me to just hang around and do some few things. So that's the only reason I'm here. But it's serious. I was in the hospital for 10 days.
It's real.
And it's for real.
Yeah.
And I was also under quarantine for like 3 weeks after that. So, you know, just make sure. But I'm clean. So doctor released me
good
today,
to go.
Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I love him.
Yep. And thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. I won't be here next week, but we will
and
be
I won't
week
either.
After. So
hoorah!
We'll have
to all of our vets.
Y'all have to listen to me twice next week.
So. There you go. With the radio.